to Up Nerd. It is the variety. Well, not really that word, but anyway, variety show. I am not alone. I am joined by producer Basil Bear. Say hello, Basil. That's enough of that joke. So, what are we here to talk about? A little bit of housekeeping first before I get to everything else. Number one, I want to mention that I am feeling much better, but I didn't want to have a guest on and kind of burn that when I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to make it through or if I have to stop because I have to cough or something like that. So I figured, even though I don't really like doing solo shows, that I would just do a solo show. First time since Armored Core 6, I believe. So at least there haven't been too many of these. Second thing I wanted to mention or bring up, X-Men 97. Wow. Not what I had expected at all in the end in terms of overall quality. I think I mentioned it when we discussed the show first couple episodes, but probably could have, and by all rights, almost should have, just been a nostalgia cash-in with not a whole lot of effort put into it, or just a kid's show. It ended up being neither of those things, and in the end, even though the original is very good, this probably surpasses it. Its ability to have fairly serious discussions amongst the characters and intersperse that with the action sequences and sort of the quiet moments and everything else, it's really well done. I was really surprised. It's the best output Marvel's put together in quite some time, and I don't think it's all that close either. It's a really odd show and very pleasantly surprising. We're going to talk about it at length at some point, I'm sure. Full disclosure, Abby is a gigantic X-Men fan, and I became one over time as well. On our first date at one point, fairly early on in it, if I remember correctly. Anyway, I saw her car pull up, and at one point she just said, "Oh yeah, please ignore the condition of the back seat. I have a whole bunch of X-Men comics in there I'm looking to sell." And she wasn't kidding. She had stuff from the 60s, including stuff like First Appearance of the Sentinels, etc., etc. And it was funny because we had both very much tried to bury the nerd aspects when we were first talking and then emailing and talking and everything else. I guess probably because we both had pretty negative experiences previously with that kind of stuff. But no, it was kind of off to the races the second we discovered that. So there you are. Some backstory, I guess. Lastly, next week is top three, bottom three of Seinfeld, which, oh boy, that's a trip, especially considering because of the way the voting and everything went, we're almost sort of watching it in order. There's an interesting progression to it. And, oh, that's going to be fun and very illuminating on that show. And then the next sort of scheduled one is a fine you pick on Primer, our first Patreon collection by somebody. So I'm looking forward to that. I have never seen it, nor has Abby. And yeah, that one's going to be fun as well, I think. So, as for this week, though, we have Star Trek Resurgence. For those of you that don't know, Star Trek Resurgence was a 2023 action-adventure, mostly adventure, video game developed by Dramatic Labs, and it was published by Brunner House. You, as the player, end up controlling two separate officers, Petty Officer Carter Diaz, who, by the way, is voiced by veteran voice actor Josh Keaton. And the voice acting in this is terrific, but having somebody like him to kind of anchor things really helped. You also play as Commander Jera Rydick, and she is played by, and forgive me, I'm probably going to butcher this, Krizia Bajos, She is the first officer on board the USS Resolute, which is the ship you are assigned to. You bounce between these two characters during a dispute between two peaceful, well, formerly peaceful, alien cultures over control of valuable mining. The game is, like I mentioned before, it is an adventure game. I'm covering this now, about a year after its release, because on May 23rd of this year, it was released May 23rd, 2023 initially, but May 23rd, 2024, it's being released on Steam. So it escapes the witness protection program known as the Epic Game Store and gets released fully onto Steam. Was released on the PlayStation 4 and 5 and the Xbox One and Series X on May 23rd, 2023. But yeah, it comes to Steam, which is probably going to be kind of its bread and butter in terms of sales and everything else. I played it from the Epic Game Store because the second it was announced, I knew I was in. I love Star Trek, and this seemed right up my alley. Why? Well, funny you should ask that. I mentioned it's an adventure game. It is very much in the style of the Telltale game. For people who don't know, Telltale was a company probably primarily known for their adventure games. Well, not probably, they are. And probably, again, most notably for licensed games, they famously made the Walking Dead series, and it was punctuated by there were frequent decisions. So the gameplay itself is just kind of hitting a button and seeing what happens, occasionally broken up by sequences where you're walking around and doing other things. We'll get to what in a Star Trek game a little later, but for the most part, it is very cinematic, I guess you could say. It is very cutscene heavy, but it worked for Star Trek, and that's why I was looking forward to this more than most of the other games of this type and in this genre. So, for example, there was recently also an Expanse game, which I don't think worked quite as well due to the setting. But because of the setting of this, i.e. in Star Trek, I think it works a lot better than a lot of the other Trek video games where the focus is on combat and action and that kind of thing, because that is what is, quote, expected, unquote, of a video game. But this one works really well for me. Overall, I'm just going to say it now, I really liked this game. It was one of my favorites of 2023. It is probably at best a decent to good game, but if you enjoy Star Trek, I think it's an absolute must buy / must play, and I'm going to get into that now. So I'm going to start by talking about the things I liked. Number one, the story and the setting. This game works perfectly for Star Trek. You speak to other characters, you decide roughly what you're going to say to them or how you're going to act or what orders to give and that sort of thing. And it's interspersed with gameplay segments where sometimes you're going to be scanning for waves or scanning for life signs or there's a lot of scanning going on. But to be fair, I mean, that's what Star Trek is. It's more scanning than shooty-shoot, blow stuff up. And traditionally, that doesn't make for a fun or interesting video game. And honestly, your mileage is going to vary with that here as well, as to whether or not you think it makes for a fun or entertaining video game. Overall, though, I mean, the story here is terrific, and it's what really shines. And that's why this works, because of the dialogue and because the voice acting is quite solid. It, for me at least, it overcomes its shortcomings we'll get into a little bit later. But overall, I really liked this a ton. And the story itself, I don't want to give away too much, but I mean, you're newly transferred as a commander to the Resolute with the one character. The other character is sort of a lower decker petty officer. And through them, you get to know the ship and its crew, as well as all of these different characters of the two alien races you are trying to negotiate an agreement between. In the end, there are a lot of deep cut. If you love Star Trek, you are going to find some real deep references and some characters and some things and some ideas which we haven't seen in Star Trek for a long time. Think very early Star Trek The Next Generation, for example. And that's one of the reasons the game worked. It was pretty clearly made by people who are fans and people who enjoy Star Trek. And I'd say, in particular, that era of Star Trek, it takes more and has more of the tropes from the Next Generation, early 2000s Star Trek than it does the 60s or now the later eras of Star Trek as well. So overall, it nails the story and the setting. And I would argue those are probably two of the most important things if you're going to do a licensed game, but especially a licensed game in Star Trek, because I have played a lot of Star Trek games. In fact, I have played all the Star Trek game, everything from the downloadable stuff to Game Boy to the old PlayStation 2 stuff. You name it, I've played it. And very few of the games kind of get a lot of that right. There, again, is a very focused attempt to create a lot of action to it versus a lot of talking. And there's action in this game, but it's generally only a last resort, unless you really like listening to your security officer, which, oh boy. Security in this really takes the Star Trek TNG / DS9, that 90s, early 2000s era version of the security officer wants to blow everything up as a first resort. They just really like firing weapons, which is an interesting choice. I kind of like it. It works here. But having said that, in terms of security, I think I prefer the Lower Decks era, where there is a point made that mental health is very important in terms of ship security and that kind of thing as well. So they also take an interest in the mental health of the crew versus the standard, Captain, I need to blow something up this episode, and if you don't let me, I'm going to kick the console. Speaking of eras, the game itself is set roughly the same time as Star Trek Lower Decks Season 2. This puts it after Star Trek X, the movie, as in Star Trek Nemesis, the final movie with the Next Generation crew. This also means we get some cameos who are really well voice acted from different Star Trek series and, yeah, more than one Star Trek series, I'll say. I don't want to give away too much here, but they're really well voice acted. And the characters seem like themselves. I very much enjoyed the cameos and that sort of thing, and they didn't feel tacked on or like these characters shouldn't have appeared where they do. They absolutely work. They absolutely should be where they are. So, yeah, that's a lot of good. What was the bad? Well, you might have noticed I mentioned heavily the story and the setting. The bad is kinda everything else. It's very much a mixed bag. And when I say mixed, I'm going to finish off the last bit of good, which is I loved walking around and just scanning stuff. I know for most people, they're going to be sort of tedious mini games where you're moving your character and pointing the tricorder and changing the settings on it and that kind of thing. For somebody who's always wanted to live in sort of the Star Trek universe and has gone to different Star Trek experiences and that kind of thing, this was a blast for me. I know it wasn't a great representation of it, because in the end, you're holding a mouse and keyboard or a controller and just waving it around, or, well, hitting thumbsticks or something like that. But it's as close as we're going to get right now with a video game for the most part. Maybe with the exception of Star Trek Bridge Crew, which was the VR game, which I love throwing that on probably once a month or so. But in any case, with this one, the gameplay is one of the worst aspects of it, but I loved what you're doing and how it's implemented. And on to the negative side, well, I think I brought that up. It is somewhat tedious. It can be sort of a difficult, there's a term for it, it's kind of a pixel hunt. This was coined with the old adventure games in the 90s, where you're just kind of searching for one sort of small bit. And that can happen in this game as well, but can also happen in Star Trek. So really didn't bother me. But again, I think I used this term before, I'll use it again. Your mileage may vary. The other negatives, I will be blunt about this. Making a video game is difficult. I don't want to begrudge them too much, but the game is built in the Unreal Engine, which is one of the many reasons why it would be an Epic Game Store exclusive, but does not look great. It looks very dated. There are sequences where it looks a little better, but in terms of the graphics and the animation, it's pretty clear this is not a, quote, AAA, unquote, video game. It looks like it could have been published quite some time ago. And so if that's a big thing for you, then that'll kind of take you out a bit. As well as there's definitely some technical glitches. There is a really odd choice in that you can't really go back to different chapters of the game to make different decisions until after you've kind of finished those chapters, and then you can go back in sort of subsequent playthroughs, obviously, but it's an odd choice. I almost kind of would have liked a rewind feature or some way to kind of instantly go back. But having said that, I think this was a concession to try to get more replay value out of it, as in they want you to play it a second time. Here's kind of the other issue. I like how the conversations and everything were structured, and I do think there's a decent amount of variance in what happens should you choose various different options. However, I don't think it's enough to make somebody who's not crazy about Star Trek, i.e. me, but I don't think it's enough to make your average person certainly want to play it more than once. So in the end, you get a game that's going to take you 3-4 hours or so, and you may not play again. So if you don't love Star Trek, I don't know that that's going to be worth it for you. If you do love Star Trek, it is absolutely worth it for you, and I recommend this so much, to the point, I mentioned this before, so I don't actually own any games from the Epic Game Store. I have always had no interest in that. All of my games are on Steam. Those two things, by the way, are digital storefronts for PC gaming. So you buy your games from there. They essentially act as a anti-piracy method, but they also distribute the game to you, so you can download it easily, use their launcher, and you just sort of play it. There's not a lot of setup like in the old days of DOS and early Windows, where you had to mess with settings and all this other stuff. No, it usually just kind of works. But I like Steam, and most of my games are there. I do not like Epic Game Store. There's a variety of reasons for that. I don't really want to get into them here, or else this is going to be a 99-hour podcast, which I definitely don't want, because I kind of edit this alone this week. Not that, well, I end up editing along most weeks because I'm a weird control freak, but hey. But Epic Game Store, this was the first game I ever bought on it. and it thus far remains the only game I have bought on it, and I don't regret it at all. I really like this game. I wanted to support it, but I see a lot of negativity about the decision by the developer to put it on, well, developer and publisher, to put it on as an Epic Game Store exclusive. And just to be blunt, the real life reasons for that is there's really not a choice here. I love Star Trek, but Star Trek video games have a very spotty history in terms of sale. And it's been a long time since we've had one that's actually kind of been a hit. Because of that, and because you have to pay money for the license, then you have to pay money for a video game engine to actually put your game on. Then you have to pay money to, I don't know, employees to actually make your game, not to mention for voice actors and everything else you need to do to make a video game. It gets expensive. Even if your game is, say, dated or has a dated look to it, it's not cheap. And one of the ways to recoup those costs is to get a deal with Epic Game Store for exclusive distribution for some time. This is why it is now coming to Steam a year later. But through Epic, you also get use of the Unreal Engine for free. So I feel like it's a no-brainer to offset a lot of the cost. And I think that it's one of the reasons why this game is still hanging around and able to be released on a separate platform over a year later. It is because they took those deals. I love Star Trek. I do not like exclusivity deals, we'll say. I think they're bad for gamers, and I think it's bad for video gaming in general. Thankfully, the day of the exclusive seems to be over, as noted by Ghost of Tsushima, currently released and being a big hit on PC, and the fact I have Spider-Man and Spider-Man Miles Morales on Steam, oh, and God of War, and a bunch of other Sony and formerly exclusive games. In any case, though, with this, it made sense. There is honestly probably no other way to get a Star Trek game released and out there than taking some sort of deal to offset the costs, as well as kind of cover your butt if things don't go well. We actually had two Star Trek games released in 2023. I played and purchased, obviously, both of them. The other one was Star Trek Infinite, and it was a game that probably could have benefited from some type of exclusivity deal or something to offset costs, because it came and went super fast. I mean, within 6 months, the studio that was working on it was essentially gutted, and there were no more patches or work done on it, which is unfortunate because it needed more work. It very much felt like a work in progress. And if things had gone a little better, there was probably a good game somewhere in there, but it would have taken time to get to. And time costs money in terms of game development. So yeah, it just never happened. And in the end, it kind of fell by the wayside, and deservedly so. I feel for the developers. I think they put their all into it, but it needed more time and it needed more money. And neither of those were ever going to happen with a Star Trek game where your audience is, frankly, somewhat limited. And this is what killed them off in the 90s and early 2000s. We used to always get Star Trek games, but they don't sell well enough, frankly, to offset the really high cost of developing video games these days, especially at the higher levels, i.e. the AAA stuff. That is why you don't see a lot of Star Trek games anymore, even though it's a huge license. And it's really unfortunate. And it's also why I champion games like this. This is a very good game that, well, for Star Trek fans, it is a very good game that captures the spirit of Star Trek for me. And it was a very enjoyable experience. And I think if, again, if you like Star Trek nearly as much as I do, I think you'll find it's worth it. And so, yeah, I want more games like this, these sort of double A, sort of middle range company developed games where honestly they're able to take a little more chances than you could if you were, say, a much larger game, larger studio, where the expectation is all of your games are going to sell 10 million copies or something like that. Abby and I talk about this a lot, obviously, pretty much every time games come up. The video game industry as it is right now is broken. And it's nearly impossible to do anything or put together a game outside the norm these days. You very much are almost required to be able to tell somebody, oh yeah, we can sell, you know, as much as Grand Theft Auto, or no, you can't. There's only a couple of game series that can hit those numbers, and it is very rare for a new game or new series to come up from nothing and do that. And it's unfortunate because for some reason expectations are put on, okay, well, this game sold 10 million copies. That means this game will obviously be able to sell 11 million. That's not how things work. It's not how business should work. And it's not how the game industry is working right now, but those are the expectations of it. So I am all for more games like this that I can live with cuts to the graphics or to just the feel of the game being a little more dated and honestly to a certain extent a little less polished than something. Although, to be fair, what does that mean nowadays? I loved Cyberpunk 2077, but it was a mess when it came out. Even on PC, it had a lot of problems and frankly was not worth playing until much later patches and additions to the gameplay and tweaks to how things were implemented. So what does paying, you know, $60 for a game get you nowadays? It very rarely seems to get you a complete working experience. I mean, we talked about a lot during the three Baldur's Gate act variety shows where we were almost surprised how complete the game was and how complete the game felt. And that's not how things should be. It's really disappointing that that's where we're at, where I kind of go, oh, wow, game actually worked. That's surprising. So in the end, this game worked. And it is surprising, but in a good, positive way. I enjoyed it quite a bit. I really hope they're able to do more. One of the things I liked in this game, and I should have mentioned it earlier, but the two factions who are kind of at each other's throat in this, slash two races, are new to Star Trek. They were able to use a lot of stuff from the past, but they integrated it with a lot of new characters and some new locations and new ideas. And that was something I guess I didn't really expect. I was happy they were able to make changes and they're able to do some new stuff with the franchise, because honestly, there's a lot of things that can be mined out there. But alternatively, Star Trek, it's a big universe. There's so much stuff we probably have never seen. So I like the idea that they were able to weave quite a bit of new into the old. And in the end, you're left with a product that I think the fans old and new to Star Trek will enjoy and will get. I really liked this. I hope they're able to do more and able in the future to frankly add more to Star Trek. More races, more cultures, more planets, that kind of thing. Fewer security officers that want to blow things up. And I guess the bright side for the game is I spend a lot of time on Star Trek message board, Star Trek Reddits, that kind of thing. The idea of somebody kind of being cool with genocide, but in the Star Trek universe was not all that surprising to me, because, man, there's some real weird Star Trek fans that maybe don't quite get some of the messaging of the franchise. But I digress. So, yeah, good game. I enjoy it. Hopefully you'll enjoy it, too. Give it a look, at least. If you're not big into video games or stuff like that, it might be fun to, say, watch a YouTube playthrough or something of it. If you enjoy Star Trek, it can be kind of an enjoyable episode, I guess, which is one of the other things I liked. I mean, it feels like a series of Star Trek episodes. And what more could you want with a game that is called Star Trek? That was Star Trek Resurgence, releasing May 23rd, 2024 on Steam. It is already available on PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and on the Epic Game Store on PC as well. But honestly, at this point, you may as well wait for it to come out on Steam, because there will probably be some sort of sale or something. So that's going to do it for this episode of Up Nerd. Hope you enjoyed it. I am very much looking forward to getting back to kind of some sort of normal. I really want to get back to having episodes in the can so that if things happen, like, say I get COVID, I don't have to do this and hope that I can sort of struggle through a couple episodes just to get them out there. I was really disappointed. I'm glad the Jurassic Park episode seems to have gone fairly well. I've gotten decent feedback from it, from our 1-2 listeners. But, man, that's a movie and a franchise I could have spent 3 hours talking about if my voice and body would have held up. So I was kind of disappointed. That's the one that I had to be real sick for. It figures. But whatever, hopefully we can get some in the can so that in the future, if one of us is sick and the other one's got to go on work trip, that it doesn't sort of devolve into whatever it is this was. I have been your host, The Uneven Flow. I hope you'll join us next week for top three, bottom three Seinfeld. I am very much looking forward to that. I am very much looking forward to any feedback any of you have. You can find Up Nerd Podcasts on Gmail if you wish to email us. It is upnerdpodcasts@gmail.com. If you want to get a hold of us on Blue Sky, it is upnerdpodcasts.bsky.social. If you want to find us on Facebook, it is Up Nerd Podcasts. And if you want to find us on Twitter or X or whatever, it is Up Nerd Podcast at Up Nerd Podcasts. I don't even know what the end of the address is anymore. You can probably tell I'm not a huge fan of Twitter or X. I miss when it was Twitter. It was actually mildly civil and semi-enjoyable occasionally to be on. It's another story, though. Hope this finds all of you well. Please feel free to spread the word of our little podcast. Every little bit helps. Every listener is appreciated. And I wish all of you a good day. Thank you.